When you make dua, what is one of the very famous dua that people read? It's from Surah Al Imran. Al Imran chapter 3, verse 8. Hear the dua. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. What is Allah saying here? What is Allah telling us? Chapter 3, Surah Al Imran, ayah number 8. Allah has commanded us here to make this dua, say, Ya Allah, la tuzigh qulubana, don't let our hearts turn away after our hearts have been rightly guided. That's powerful. Eh? The dua is about your heart. You see, some of us probably make this dua and we don't understand it. This is the dua, chapter 3. And you know what I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, and myself? Always read this dua. This is a powerful dua. Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verse 8. وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Allah is saying, don't let my heart. You see, I came to masjid. I'm sitting now in Jummah khutbah. I'm thinking Allah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I'm thinking dhikr of Allah. I'm thinking whatever I do, I should do what you want me to do. Whatever I do, I must do what you are pleased with. Don't let this thought and this intention turn away, Allah. La tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. After you have given me this hidayah, after you have given me this guidance, don't let my heart go away. You see, your heart is a very interesting thing. You see, just how it beats like a pump, and it pumps. That's how it works emotionally. That's how it works spiritually. So it's easy as you go outside and you see food, you forget about the Quran and the dhikr. You see a nice pretty woman, you're like, that is Sheikh Shafia talk. Now it's action, brother. You know, you see haram things, you're like, yo, that was masjid talk, khutbah talk. Now it's action, real thing here. No. As you see something that you're about to go on the wrong path, you ask Allah, Ya Allah, you have just guided me. I came from the masjid. I just read Quran. I just prayed my salah. La tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Don't let my heart go off. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. And in this dua, it also have Allah, and grant me and give me from your rahmah. Because you are the most merciful. And when Allah gives you from His rahmah, what do you think happens? When Allah gives you from His mercy, what do you think happens? You also become merciful to other people. You also become loving to other people. You also become kind to other people. You also want to love other people and be nice to other people. Because Allah has placed that in our hearts. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. And you are telling Allah, Allah, you are the one, Ya Allah. You are the one full of bounties. You are the one full of bounties. So it's such a powerful dua. A lot of you read it, a lot of us say it, but we don't really get it inculcated in our hearts. It's very interesting, my brothers and sisters. I know time is going down, so I need to quote a few more verses to remind myself and you a little bit about this heart. Because this heart, and those of you who came late, we spoke on some other aspects, but this heart is what Allah looks at all the time. And we got to have our intention very clear. And we got to do everything for Allah. Because Allah says in chapter 13, verse 28, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. And it is only by the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace. So if we do everything for the pleasure of Allah, we will always have peace. In the first khutbah, we reminded ourselves about how people are always running down thing, because we never peaceful. We never at peace. We didn't do it for the sake of Allah. We're doing it for money. We're doing it for show. We're doing it for fame. We're doing it to look rich in the community. And as long as we do things like that, we will always want to do another thing, and we will never find peace. And we'll die running down the dunya. We may die running down the dunya. And the materialistic things, you know, there is something called zuhud in Islam. You must check it out. Once someone had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said, Ya Rasulullah, what is that thing that if I do, Allah would love me? And if I do that, people would love me. That's a very difficult thing, eh? To do something that Allah loves you and people also love you.
But many a times you do something for Allah, people don't like you, not even your wife and children. And then many times you do things for people and Allah won't like you because you're not pleasing Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahabas, he said, you know, I gave a whole lecture last week, Friday, alhamdulillah, in Miami Gardens on the dunya and the akhirah. They go together, not against the dunya. I didn't speak against the dunya. I spoke of it's compact together in the deen. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahabas was, you must renounce the love and the desire for the materialistic things in the world. He didn't say don't have it. Have a wife, have a car, have a business, have a job, have money. Muslims should have money because the third pillar in Islam is to give zakat. So you need to have money. And you know, I was mentioning in the lecture in Miami Gardens last week, Friday, a lot of people believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was poor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not poor. You know who is a poor man? A poor man is one who accepts zakat and sadqah. It was haram for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accept zakat and sadqah. He used to give zakat and sadqah. So you call him poor? He was rich. But he lived humble and simple. Zakat and sadqah was haram for him. So he was rich. All the prophets were rich. You go study their lives. Gold and silver and camels and wealth they had. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had a kingdom. David was a king. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam grew up in a palace. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam ran the kingdom of Pharaoh in Egypt. What are you talking about? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when you go to his home as a guest, you could drink milk until your belly get busted. Milk and food and lamb and sheep and whatever you want. That's how much he had. He could have feed the whole nation. Allah gave him, he had. Today some of us got big houses and drive Mercedes and Lexus and got $1 million in the bank, and when a guest comes by your home, they can't even get a glass of free water. You know free water? Mufsir, free. And you're not even giving them in a good glass, you give them on a piece of paper cup. Because we poor. We only live in glass houses and look rich, but we poor. We got poor hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feed his guests in the best utensils, the best milk, the richest milk, the best meat, the lamb, the food. You check it out. He used to feed kuffar and disbelievers like that because he had a rich heart. Remember in the first khutbah? Or maybe in the beginning I reminded myself and you of the difference with a rich heart. That's what we're supposed to be because his heart was connected to Allah. A lot of us got a lot of misconception about this Islam. So, my brothers and sisters, in conclusion, Allah permits, we'll continue on this topic of the heart. There's so many verses in the Quran that Allah speaks about the heart. And Allah speaks about the heart being locked. You know, I want to remind myself and remind you of a verse here taken from chapter 22. Hear what Allah says here. Very interesting. And I don't want to read the whole verse. It's a very, very long verse. Chapter 22, Surah Hajj, verse 26. Hear what Allah says. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. He says, certainly the eyes are not blind. The eyes. Meaning, you know, you read the Quran, you read it. You hear khutbah, you hear Quran and hadith. The verse tells you what people travel through the land and they see the mercy of Allah. They see the power of Allah. They see the greatness of Allah. And Allah is saying, certainly it's not their ears or their eyes that are blind, you know. Hear what he says. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي السُّدُورِ. He says, it's their hearts that are blind. Allahu Akbar. You see how powerful the heart is? It is our hearts that are blocked and locked and blind that we don't hear what we should hear. We don't see what we should see. We don't digest spiritually what we should digest because this is what is locked. Oh, and Allah uses the word locked. Locked. This is not my opinion. Don't go and say Sheikh Shafa'at said locked for the heart. Allah says blind. He says it's the heart that is blind. That's why, you know, it's like, you know, there's a famous saying about love is blind. When a person falls, there's a famous English saying about love is blind. If you love someone, it doesn't matter how they look, what color they are, what nationality they are. You love that person, nationality will come after, colors will come after, passport will come after, and visa will also come after. Because it's love. The heart loves that person. And your entire family telling you, ye to khubsurat nahi hai bhai, ye kaisa ladki hai, how you like that guy or you like that boy, huh? You don't know, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you have business, your father has everything, you like that? Ye kaisa hai, ye kya cheez hai, what is this? You love that person, you see everything in that person, you see wealth, you see color, you see scholar, you see everything. Because the heart is blind when the heart falls in love. So your heart just sees love. And similarly, when your heart has hate for someone, that's what you see. And then on the other hand, your parents don't like the person. Think about it. Your parents don't like the person. So now the person is a doctor, but your parents think he's a dunce. The person is wealthy, your parents say, they're nothing to me. The person is good looking, they say, hey, kitna badsurat hai, what ugly girl you brought for me here. Your parents see a beautiful person stands in front of your parents, but because your parents hate that person, they see no beauty because they have no love. You now, on the other hand, may have an ugly, poor, everything put together in the package, and all you see is love and wealth and success and what this person will become tomorrow. Allah, love is blind. What it is, when they say love is blind, not the love is, the heart gets blind when you love someone. The heart is what goes blind to see something, or the heart is what opens up for somebody. So other people, when the love is blind, you don't see faults, you only see love. And other people who don't love, their heart is also blind. They don't see good, they only see faults. That's how it works. And hear what Allah says in the Quran. Again, it's not my words, not my opinion, it's what Allah says. Allah says here, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't they comprehend and study and think over this Quran? Aren't they pondering and trying to understand what Allah is saying here? Meaning us, we? Allah is telling us all these things and we don't try to comprehend and understand what goes on in the Quran? So Allah is now here, what He says. أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. So you got eyes, you're reading the Quran. You got a degree from the university, so you're understanding the Quran. You got all the intelligence, so you could read it, you could do everything. Why are we not following it? Allah is saying, because the hearts are locked up. The eyes are reading, the ears are hearing, the eyes are seeing, but Allah is saying, it's the hearts that are locked. And the hearts are not giving the direction to the brain to tell the hands and the body to act in accordance with Allah and the commands of Allah and for the pleasure of Allah and fi sabilillah. So the heart, my brothers and sisters, sorry I can't go back into repeating the whole beginning of the khutbah, but for those of you who came late again, can get the khutbah after salah on how Allah on the day of judgment will look at our hearts. He wants to see the good hearts with all the good data that we have done and why we did it, when we did it, for what reason we did it. Because innamal a'malu binniyat, all actions are judged with intention. And where does the intention come from? The heart. And that's the intention that makes you act accordingly. So, you know, I always like to, I know recently I went to New York and did a lecture. One brother met me, said, I look at the khutbah's life from Darul Uloom, but like you stop giving, sharing humor with us, man. I would always remember your humor. I just love the humor. So today I wanted to share a little humor on love. You know, there was this girl, or this lady, before we conclude the khutbah, she was looking for a husband. Interesting, huh? So you single people, think about it. So she went on this dating website to search a husband. Waheed, you smiling? Are you always on the dating website? Anyhow. Brother Azad is also smiling. He's also on the dating website. Eh? So he went on the website. I mean, she went on the website and she negotiated. So they asked her, what do you want? She was like, someone pretty, looking nice. Someone who will always be with me, near with me, in the kitchen with me, when I'm cooking, even when I go in the toilet, he must be with me. Oh yeah, people put this kind of request. In the toilet, when I'm traveling, you know, he must be with me. When I'm washing, when I'm cooking, everything I do, he needs to be with me. When I sit in the living room, he must be with me. When I'm sleeping, he must be with me. And she gave the long line of requests. And when I want to hear some stories, he will share these loving stories with me.
And everything, you know, he will just give it to me. The computer came back and the organization replied, you need a smartphone. He didn't get out there. In the beginning, she did really say she wanted a smart husband. But all these things that you look at the girls nowadays and the boys, that's what they do. The phone is with them in the kitchen, in the toilet, in the bed, on the pillow, in the work, at home, in the kitchen, in the living, everything. So a lot of times, sometimes, you think that you love someone, but it's the phone you love more than you really love. I just want to use that example. A lot of times we don't even know where we love and who we love and why we love. And we don't know what we love for. Sometimes you love just for materialistic things. Well, you could get that on Google. One guy was asked, he said, I don't need to get married because anything I want, I search it on Google. I get it from Google. You could get it on your phone. But the phone doesn't have a heart. So there's no love connection. It may be your likeness and your physical attraction. But that's a whole different kind of necessity likeness as to the connection that a wife will have to a husband. You may get all these materialistic physical things from a phone or a computer or whatever. But that connection of love, you could only get it from your companion. That's why Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Rum, and again, not my idea, in Surah Rum, chapter 30, verse 21, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you find peace and you find tranquility in your spouse, because that's a connection from the heart. Forget about the body and the phone and the television and the house and the refrigerator. It's this connection that Allah connects. This connection from the heart of the wife to the heart of the husband. And then that transpires into the two bodies and they find peace. Other than that, if you don't have those two hearts, if a husband and wife, their hearts are not connected, they could have $1 billion, they can have all the motor cars, all the properties, all the houses. They will not find love and peace in each other. They will be looking for it outside.
Why do we let these radical imams brainwash some of us? Come here, we sit, we sleep in khutbahs, we don't get the message, that's why we miss
it. He says, all I need you to be grateful, Allah Akbar.
Are you telling me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not protect the prestige of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
All of us are only living for business. That's all our dream.
Let me see who shall save you now.